What's up? This is Pastor Travis. Thank you for tuning in to Desperation Church Podcast. Each message is prepared through the Holy Spirit, empowered and inspired with you in mind. Now prepare your hearts for a message from God today.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I hope all is well. I hope you're going to have a good one. Hey, listen, before we dive into our new series, I want to just challenge everybody here, especially those that's been coming to Desperation Church for a while. We start our fast today, and so I want to encourage everybody that's been coming for a while to join in on the fast. Basically, we're laying something down during our 21 days of fasting for the purpose of drawing closer to God. Actually, it's like giving your first of your year to Jesus, all right? And so that's what we're doing. Listen, if you want to find out more about how to fast or more about fasting, you could go on our website, desperationchurch.tv, and you can read up all about it right there, okay? Hey, listen, during the fast, we've got 21 days of prayer and fasting cards right here that you could pick up. On the backside of it, we got 21 days, 21 different things that we're praying for. Today is the first day of our fast, and we feel like one of the most important things, the most important part of our church is God's presence. And so that's number one right off the bat. So today, we are praying for God's presence in our church because it's God's presence that changes lives. Then tomorrow we'll pray for missions, and then third day we'll pray for small groups. So it's all right here on the back. If you want to pick one of these up at the Connection Center, you can do that as you leave. Hey, listen, and also we're doing something a little different this year. We are going to pray all 21 days during the fast, okay? Except for Wednesdays, we're not praying at 6:30. We're praying at 7. Now, every day during the fast, we'll be praying at 6:30, okay, at 6:30. And then on Sundays, we probably won't be praying either because we have church services at 6:15, okay? But every other day, we're praying at 6:30, except for, everybody listening, except for one day, all right? There's going to be one day that we won't be praying, and that's tomorrow, all right? So y'all like, what? Listen, the rite is tomorrow night. So if you want to come in here and hip-hop and go crazy and lights going everywhere and pray, you're welcome to. I mean, you can pray in a rap if you want to because it'll be hip-hop everywhere. But here's the big picture. We will have the rite here tomorrow night. So Tuesday night, I want to challenge as many people as possible to come and pray. At 6:30, it'll be an hour long. We'll have somebody leading it that night. And so just come and be a part, 6:30. You don't have to come every single time. If you want to come every single time, that would be absolutely beautiful. But if you want to come, every now and then, take turns with your spouse or something, all right? If somebody stay home with the kids and somebody come to prayer, do whatever. Make a plan. Be here 6:30 to pray with us, all right? Hey, listen, starting a new series called Sweet 16. We are hoping and praying that everybody has a sweet 2016 year, all right? We're hoping and praying that God does some incredible things in your life. Now, listen, New Year is always about new resolutions. Now, there are a lot of people who don't make resolutions because you're thinking like, man, I always fail at resolutions, all right? Well, the big picture is that honestly, we should always be doing something in our life to improve our life, some kind of discipline, some way, form, or fashion, living intentionally. And I understand that a lot of times it's easy to get caught up in the mundane, and it's easy to get caught up in being comfortable. It's easy to get caught up in just kind of going in circles. But right now, today, if there's ever been a time that you can make something new in your life happen, today would be a great day to start, all right? And so we're going to talk about, over the next several weeks, different things that we can do in our own personal life to make 2016 sweet. And so today, I just want to talk about you. I want to talk about us. I want to talk about how can we make things better in our life, all right? You know, when it comes to new, everybody loves new stuff. Everybody just had Christmas. I hope everybody had a great Christmas, but at Christmas, everybody gets new stuff. Who got new stuff at Christmas? Throw your hands up. All right, come on. Most everybody got new stuff for Christmas. Now, I was looking at pictures, actually around Christmas, of last year's Christmas, of my kids and my family, and we was checking out all of, and I started looking at all the things that we gave them last year, and I started realizing that all that stuff that we gave them last year was either at the thrift store now, we've already handed it down to somebody else, we threw Caleb's shoes in the trash about 3 months in because they smell awful. I started looking like all that stuff now is old. I mean, like there are toys that they never even really played with except for that day. I don't even know if they played with them on that day. I mean, there are things that are old and now we got them all new stuff. And next year when we get them new stuff again, all this stuff will be old. You know, there's a place where nothing stays new, but we all love new stuff. How awesome would it be if you could have something new and keep it new? Wouldn't it be awesome to keep that new car smell in your car? All right, this Listen, if you've got kids, you know that the new car smell is not staying there. All right? There'll be old French fries and chicken nuggets and everything else that you find underneath the seat for three. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on. Who's got kids in the house? Y'all know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Y'all try to eat one of those chicken nuggets, too, 3 months later, and they're still good, all right, because they're really bad for you. Listen, God is in the business of making things new and keeping them new. He is all about keeping it fresh, keeping it new. You know, I want you to think about all the times in Scripture that the Scripture talks about God doing something new. He talks about a new heaven and a new earth in 2 Peter. He talks about a new wine in Mark chapter 2. Some of y'all had that at New Year's Eve. Listen, he talks about the new covenant in 1 Corinthians. He talks about the new teaching in Acts 17. He talks about a new creation in 2 Corinthians 5, a new birth in 1 Peter, a new self in Colossians 3, a new mind in Ephesians 4, a new command in 1 John, a new Jerusalem in Revelation 3, a new song in Psalms, and we could just keep going and going and going. Why? Because God is in the business of making things new. And you know what? That's what sanctification really is. He's constantly making us new, constantly keeping things fresh, constantly showing us areas that he wants us to put off so that he can be new in us. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. You know, there are a lot of people, probably even sitting here today, and we'll talk more to you later on in the sermon, but there's a lot of people here today that thinks that my past is incredibly too much for God to do something new with. There's no way that God can forgive me of my past. There's no way that God can do something new in my life. But the thing about it is, if that was true, then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 would be a lie. The whole big deal is that God will take your past and cover it with his blood and make your life new and give you new purpose. He'll give you new direction. He'll give you new life. That's what he's at. He's in the business of taking things today and making them new. And listen, if you've given your life to Christ, you are a new creation in Christ. Before you were walking in death, now you're walking in life. You know, I think about a car lot, kind of illustrate this verse a little bit. You know, usually there's two or three areas of a car lot. You got a used car lot, you've got a pre-owned part of the car lot, and then you've got a new area of a car lot. And the one thing I want you to understand and know that we are not like car lots. You are not used, you're not pre-owned, you're not damaged goods. You're not fixed or repaired. You are new, brand new in Jesus when you give your life to him. And so if you're here today and you're a believer and you walk with God, you need to walk in the mindset every single day that I am a new creation in Christ. And when the devil wants to do everything he can to accuse you of your past, all right? Listen, when he wants to accuse you of your past, you remind him that the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony covers all of my past, and I am now a new creation in Jesus. I got new direction. I've got new purpose. You know, people look at New Year's as a fresh start or new beginnings in their life. And when people do New Year's resolution, it's always about getting a better life. I mean, it's always one. When you make New Year's resolutions, it's always about becoming better at something in your life. You know, I never hear anybody say, you know, I already smoke about 3 packs a day. I think I want to give, you know, I want to go up to 4. I want to get better at smoking cigarettes, all right? You don't hear anybody say, you know, I'm already dipping a can of Skoal. I think I'm going to get me two cans this year a day. I think I can do that. That's just nasty. Listen, nobody says, you know what? I want to buy me some ice cream. I think I want to put on about 25 pounds this year. I think I look great on me. I mean, you don't hear anybody saying that kind of stuff at New Year's. It's always the opposite. It's always wanting to get better in life. Listen, we should always be doing things in life to get better. And to be honest with you, if you're not, you're wasting it. You know, every one of us, not just at the new year, which is a great opportunity to start fresh, all right? But we should always do things in our life to live intentional. We should always be doing things in our life to live, we should live intentional every single day. That needs to be our word for the year. Intentional. Live intentional. Live with other people. Live intentional with my family. Live intentional with Jesus. Live intentional at work. Live intentional wherever I go. I want to live intentional. You know, I got a whiteboard up here, and you know, I want you to pretend like that this whiteboard right here is your life. All right, this is you. All right, you got a fresh start. It is 2016. We've got a, if you can't see over there, it's right here. All right, there you go. All right, listen. Got a fresh start. I mean, you got a whiteboard right here in your life. This is kind of what we did with our church. Whenever we were planting Desperation Church, we took a whiteboard like this and we said, what are the things that we want to do different in church? And so we just started writing them down because we could do anything we wanted to. We could do any, and if nobody liked it, then we liked it. But we're going to do it this way, all right? But this right here is a whiteboard. Now, picture this being your life. What are the things in your life that you have always wanted to do, but you're not doing? What is something practical or spiritual that you've always wanted to do that you're not doing? Why aren't you doing it, and what's stopping you? Now, listen, this is what happens with a lot of us, okay? A lot of us say things like, you know, I want to practical. Let me put practical up here. Right? By the way, I am a horrible writer. Spiritual. Let's say, you know, practical. Maybe a lot of us say we want to read more. Some of us say, you know what? I think that I want to lose more weight. I want to be a better spouse. I was like, I should put be a better spouse. I want a better spouse. That's not right. No, you want to be a better spouse. Be a better spouse. And so you want to be a better family person. Maybe you want to drink less. I'm just going to throw it out there. Or at all, not at all. I don't know. I have no clue what it is. So practically, maybe these are some of the things that you put down. Spiritually, you're thinking like, man, I want to go to church more. I want to read more the Bible. I want to pray more. You know, I think that I want to lead more small groups. And I think that I'm going to do everything I can to lead people to Jesus more. I think I'm going to serve more. And so we get all this stuff. We're thinking like, man, I'm going to do it all, man. I'm going to do it all. And so December, the end of December, I mean, you're getting your game face on, man. You're getting pumped up. I mean, you have to inspire yourself. And honestly, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like with a whole lot of you right here in December 1st of January. All right, you ready for this? Uh-oh, here we go. All right. Woo! I'm getting my game face, man. I'm going to read more. I'm going to lose. I'm getting rid of that parrot game, baby. The muffin top is gone. I want to be a better spouse. I'm not going to get a better spouse. I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to be a better family man. I'm going to drink less, man. I'm going to lay down the dish. I'm going to do everything. Man, I'm getting after it. Oh, I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to pray more. God, I'm coming to talk to you. I'm going to lead more small groups. I'm going to lead people to Jesus. I'm going to serve. Man, I'm ready. I'm a tiger, baby. Let's go. And then at the end of January, it looks a lot like this right here. Such a failure. I can't read. I don't even know how to read. I've ate more ice cream. Oh God, I'm the worst husband ever. Lord Jesus, how can you take me? I mean, they made me sleep outside. I gotta go to AA.
That is how I know.
I've not been to church in weeks. Oh man, read more of the Bible, holy cow, pray more. I need prayer. I need somebody to pray for me. Lead more small groups. Ain't nobody want none of me. Lead people to Jesus. Somebody needs to lead me to Jesus. I gotta serve, man. I'm pathetic. I'm the worst ever. I just can't do it, man. I guess I'll just go back to the mundane life. I need to leave behind me right now. Listen. Okay, you turn it off. That's what a lot of us look like. We get all fired up. Whoa, the tiger. Man, we pumped. And then by the end of January, like, oh, I stink again. I mean, like, it is obvious that something's not right. Listen, let me encourage you with a few things, okay? You know, write down the things that you've always wanted to do, things that you struggle with now or that you're not doing. But instead of trying to do everything at once, why don't you do one or two things great? Why don't you start with one thing? Start with one, or maybe two. But listen, don't kill yourself. Do a few things well. Listen, that's why different people have to do things in the church, because all of us have gifts that we do things inside the church well. There are a lot of things that I do not do well that some of you do better than I do. And that's why everybody does one or two things. God gives us one or two gifts that we do incredibly well. And so I would say do things well. Listen, you're so jumbled up that you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. All right? And so you look at it and you're like, there's no way, you know. My deal is, hey, get away from the Golden Corral and the Ryan's Buffet right here. All right? I ain't talking about losing weight. I'm just talking about all the selections. Hey, go to a Ruth Chris and just get a few things off the menu. You know, when we started doing church, we said, hey, listen, we want to do a few things great. We want to be excellent in a few things. And so we got four areas. We got the presence of God, which is prayer, small groups, missions, and DC Connect team. Everything that we do wraps around those four areas, and we want to be as simple as possible. Good Lord Jesus scared me to death. Bless you. Listen, I seriously did. I about passed out. Listen. Do things great. Do things well. All right? Do them well. Do one or two things. Start there. Start somewhere and do it great. Don't kill yourself by trying to do the Golden Corral buffet, all right? Listen, I really believe that things you struggle with, whether they're practical or spiritual, God can do something new in you with those areas, and you've got to let Him be your source of strength. He's got to be your source of strength. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about this, and I'll be honest with you. There's some of these things that I say that sounds good, but it doesn't register with people. And I'm going to pray that God continues to allow it to register over the next part of my sermon. All right? You know, Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything." Y'all have heard this before. "Through Christ who gives me strength." Who gives you strength? Christ gives you strength. So I can do all things, whether they're practical or whether they're spiritual. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Everything means everything. You know, I think that God is in every area of your life. He's a part of every part of your life. If it's losing weight, if it's reading more books, if it's being a better family person, you know, He's in every area of your life. If it's reading your Bible more, if it's praying, whatever. He's every part of your life. And so everything means everything. And so, you know, when it comes to something practical, you know, you got to lay down the excuses. You know what keeps us from doing things like we want to do? It's always excuses. And you can make up every excuse in the book. But honestly, really, you can lay those down. That's what it is. This is an excuse. I'll tell you another reason why we have a hard time with practical things is because we don't really make a plan. You know, when it comes to making plans and being intentional about getting better, I think that's one thing that I struggle with. I know whenever I used to do CrossFit. And I got hurt so many times that I quit CrossFit. And honestly, I didn't work out as much. And I figured out why I quit working out as much, even though I really need to work out more and keep my body in shape, because this is, you know, this is God's body. I want to do everything I can to take care of it. The reason why it was better for me to do CrossFit was because whenever I went to the gym, there was somebody else there that had a plan for me to do it. And so I did everything they told me to do, and I hated them, and I hated it for it, all right, because it was miserable. But it helped me. And so when I got away from it, I had no plan. And so when I went to the gym, I'm like, what do I do now? I look like a moron over there in the window, by the mirror, by the way, next to Travis and Keith. Which way to the weight room? And here, my muscles are down here, and theirs is up here. All right, listen, it is unbelievable what happens when you get a plan. It helps a ton. You know, when it comes to reading the Bible, I have to have a plan in just doing my daily reading. And so I take the one-year Bible. And I'd encourage you, if you struggle with reading the Bible, get the one-year Bible, all right? And basically, we got a few in the front that you can buy, I think, if they ain't already sold out from the first service. If not, you can go to Books A Million, or you can get it on your iNook or your iBook or whatever, all right? You could get it there. I probably said that wrong, I'm sure. That didn't even sound right. But the thing about it, you can download the one-year Bible, and you can read it. It'll give you a couple of chapters in the Old Testament, a couple in the New Testament, and it will give you some Proverbs and Psalms every single day. And by the December the 31st, you have read all the way through the Bible, all right? So there's a plan. Make a plan for yourself. But here's the deal. Jesus is in every part of your life, practically. You know, Adam Hicks, who is our Jasper pastor, our Jasper campus pastor, was telling me a story about a girl that came to our campus there who has lost tons and tons of weight. And so he asked her, he said, "How in the world have you lost so much? What are you doing?" She said, "I'm not trying to sound super spiritual." She says, "But every time I sit down to eat," she says, "I pray over my food, not so much that God will bless it. Yes, I pray he blesses it, but I pray that he would help me keep to my portion. God, help me, give me strength to stay in my portion." She said, "And then when I'd go work out, I first of all had to ask God to help me get to the gym. And then the second thing I would pray is when I get there, God, help me with this workout to accomplish and do what I need to do. Because God, I cannot do this. Only you can do this through me." And so she's lost over 100 pounds. And she said she had to rely on the Lord to do those things. Why? Because he cares. I really think God cares about the little things in your life that we would consider little. All right? I think they're big to him. And so I would encourage you to talk to God even in the practical things. Now listen, when it comes to the spiritual, now this is where I want you to hear me, all right? This might take a little while for people to grab hold of. And I don't know if we'll ever completely grasp how large this is. You know, when it comes to spiritual, there are a lot of people here who really struggle spiritually and you beat yourself up about it. You know, the first thing I would tell you to do is to lay your stick down and quit trying to be Billy Graham overnight. All right, there's a lot of you. I mean, like, this is you. This is your right here, and you can't do it. There's no way. Listen, if we were honest in here, there's a lot of people in here today who are spiritually wore out. If we was to sit down one-on-one and talk, and you was just completely honest, you got a truth serum, all right, that I saw an arrow the other night. Listen, you would tell, "I'm spiritually exhausted." Well, why is that? You got a wrong mentality. You got a wrong mentality of pursuing God and who God is. Listen, I want us to change our mindset. Now, this is going to mess with some people. All right, because this is something you've heard all your life, and I'm not saying it's wrong by no means. I'm just saying I think we've got a wrong mindset when we say this phrase. What I'm about to say is something that might mess with you a little bit, but hang on, all right, throughout. I think we need to get rid of the mindset of "I'm going to live for Jesus." Now listen, when you say those things, I think I kind of understand what you're saying. And in a sense, yes, I'm going to live for Jesus. But I think that a lot of people, when they say that, that what they're saying is, "I'm going to live for Jesus," but their thought process is more of a works mentality. "I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. And God's really going to like me more. He's going to have favor on me more because of it." By the way, the favor of God is on you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with what you're doing or what you're not doing. It's got everything to do with Jesus. Listen, it will never, ever, ever work that way, because that's not living for God, but that's working for God, which is the definition of religion. Listen, we're not called to work for God, but we are called for His Spirit to work through us. And instead of maybe the thought process of, "God, I'm going to live for you," maybe we change our thought process and our mindset to, "God, I want you to live through me and let Him be your strength. God, live through me. God, live through me. God, live through me." Because aren't we conduits? It's amazing the filters that we have are religious filters in our relationship with God. You know, with my spouse, with my relationship with my wife, if I felt like the only way for her to like me was to cut the grass, take out the garbage, sweep the floor, clean out the dishwasher. And if I didn't do those things, boy, she's not going to like me anymore. But if I do all those things, boy, she's really going to like me now. Boy, I got favor with her. It's going to be a good night tonight. Listen, I shouldn't have said that. Listen, the big picture is that would be a really bad relationship with my wife. But because I love her and we do life together and, you know, because I want to be a good husband, I try to do those things because of a relationship, not because of I have to. Even though I'm not really good at it. She'll remind me of this when we get home, by the way. Remember that garbage you said? Take it out. Listen, you want to have a good relationship? Take it out. Listen, it's important that we understand the works mentality that so many of us carry. You know, there are people here today who are spiritually exhausted. And you're rowing the religion boat. You're rowing to please God. And you're working your tail off. I'd say put down the oars and let the Holy Spirit blow into your sails and carry you places you've never gone before with Him. We don't work for the kingdom. We let the kingdom work through us. It's a relationship. Check Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says this. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, there are people sitting there today like, well, see right there, it says I'm supposed to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Like, that's works, man. I got to work out. I got to do everything I can. But you ain't read verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. In other words, God, you work in me, and what you do in me comes out. You work through me. God, I'm walking with you daily, and God, I want a relationship with you. And whatever that looks like for me and you, I just want to fall in love with you more and more every day, every single day. Listen, when we give God rights to us and we just walk with Him daily, it changes everything. And I would say in 2016, to make it sweet, we need to change the thought process of living for the kingdom, but let the kingdom live through us. Live intentional. Jesus through us. Enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. What if we went into our relationship with God in 2016 as just that, a relationship, and not look at it as a job? Not look at it as a job. Listen, when you sit down with Scripture, sit down with it like it's a relationship. When you go and pray, talk to Him like you're talking to your spouse or your friends. I mean, it's amazing how many of us think we got to pray in the King James Version for God to hear us. Thou art God, Father. Maybe, you know, I tell people all the time, and some of y'all have heard me, a lot of y'all have heard me say this. There's a place where some of you just need to pull up another chair in front of you. You sit in a chair and pull up a chair in front of you and picture Jesus sitting in it and just have a conversation with you. Get you some coffee. All right? Coffee's a great conversational piece. It tastes really, really bad, but I think it would be great for conversation. All right? That's why they have Starbucks and people sit around and talk, because it's a great conversational piece. But Jesus is sitting in that chair. You talk to Him. And let Him talk back. Maybe you just close your eyes and listen. Maybe you ask Him questions and you listen. Different. You know, what I've learned in my walk with Jesus is there are days that I read the Word and that I pray, and I get this massive defining word in my life and for the church. And then there's other days that I read the Word and I pray, and I think, well, that was a pretty good read. I mean, I enjoyed that. And then there's other days that I get absolutely nothing. I mean, zero. I'm just being honest. You know, I think that a whole bunch of us think that we should be getting some kind of defining word every single day. I mean, think about your spouse again, or one of your friends. if every time you sat down with your spouse, it was just this deep conversation, not unless you're a super deep thinker, that would be absolutely miserable for most of us. But we just do life with them. Just do life. And a lot of us need to think that way with God. You know, before you read, I got four questions. Some of you might want to write these down, okay? Four questions to talk to God about before you read, before you pray. Well, maybe when you get up in the morning. Maybe this is something you put on your mirror. I don't know what your first thing you do in the morning. Maybe it's something you put on your nightstand. The first thing I would say to do is to say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me today. Speak to me today. You know, I believe that the voice of God is the most important thing in the Christian life. I think learning the voice of God is the most important thing in the Christian life. Because the voice of God is what directs you through life. When you read the Word, it's what helps break down what the Word is saying. The Word of God is what whispers in your ear the voice of I love you, or lets you know how much He is for you and not against you. The voice of God is large. Listen, I mean, some of you might want to pray some scriptures like this right here. Lord, speak to me today. Maybe Isaiah 50, verse 4. Here it is. There it is. All right. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. In other words, God, give me a word to speak to somebody else who is weary. Help me rebuild, revive, restore other people who need a word from you. Why? Because your word, the voice of God, your words are large and they are life-giving. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. Did you know He instructs us all day to live out purpose, to live out direction? Maybe we can look at Psalm 119 right here. It says, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in what? Your words. Why? Because they're powerful, God. They bring life to me. Psalm 5:3 says this, listen to my voice in the morning. Lord, each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. The second thing I would say is, Lord, speak to me today is first. Second is, Lord, search me today. Listen, if you need to reveal anything in me today, then God, I give you the rights so that I can draw closer to you. God, I want to put off the old man. God, I want to walk in the Spirit. God, I want to be more like you. And maybe you pray all these verses. Maybe you pray these or just say these to God. Psalm 139 says this, search me, oh God. God, I give you the right to search me. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. God, know me. Oh, the next one. Maybe you pray this. Okay. There it is. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, I want everything off. God, I want to walk next to you as much as I can. And then the next one you can put up here is you spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. And He still loves us. And He still pursues us. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of those. The other one I would say is, Lord, show me today. Lord, speak to me today. Lord, search me today. Then, Lord, show me today. Lord, I'm dealing with a lot of things in my life today. Show me which direction I should go. Or, Lord, show me more of you today. Psalms 143:8 says this, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I'm trusting you, God. You've got my life. It's in your hands. So, God, I need you to show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. It's beautiful. God, I'm yours. You know my life better than I do. Check out this next one. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me all day long. I put my hope in you. God, show me what's direct, because God, you know my life better than me. Give me purpose. Give me direction. God, I want to live intentional, so show me where to go. And then, Lord, send me today. The last one. Lord, send me today. Lord, speak to me. Lord, search me. Lord, show me. Lord, send me. Help me to be your hands and feet today. Help me to live intentional in other people's lives. Help me to be a conduit that you can live through me and pour into other people's lives. Help me to allow you to flow through me. Psalms 27:11 says this, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Check out the next one. It says, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. Send me today. What's the next one? Again, he said, peace be with you as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to search me. I want you to show me. I want you to send me. Hey, listen, guys, it's about a relationship. Don't kill yourself by trying to do everything at once. We want to do Ruth Chris. All right? We want to do less. Less is more. I know that sounds backwards, but the thing about it is when you go through a checklist of a jillion different things to do, it gets jumbled up, it becomes work, and all of a sudden you miss out on the great things of who God is because you quit and you can't do it. So do one or two things great. What are the things you want? What are the things you've been wanting to do? You got a whiteboard. It's fresh. Sweet 16. Do something great. Now listen. Let me talk to some people here today that completely separate. I really feel like I need to say this today. You know, there's a great possibility that there are people in this room right here who your life is a struggle. Maybe you're at the end of your rope, and you are looking for answers. You're searching, and you're looking for answers. And you're thinking, man, it's the first of the year. I'm gonna give it a shot, man. I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna go to church for the first time. Maybe you ain't been to church in years, or maybe you've never been at all, and you're just searching, man. I'm looking for answers. For a lot of you, that maybe that's you, and you came today, and this is your first time here at Desperation Church. Number one, I think for a lot of you, it took a lot of courage. There's a great possibility that while you was at home, the enemy was wearing you out, telling you you're not worthy. Look at all the stuff in your past. Look at everything you've done. Do you really think God's got something for you? He's trying to keep you home, baby. For a lot of you, just getting out of your car and taking steps to come through the door took so much courage. And I applaud you. The devil's telling you, man, no people over there are going to look at you and think, my gosh, I can't believe, oh, so-and-so. Can you believe they're here? Man, the ceiling's going to fall in. We better get out of here quick. It's not true. It's all lies. I want you to know. I want you to hear me. If that's you today, I don't know. But if that's you today and you say, I want a fresh start, I'm looking for something new. You came to the right place. It was a divine appointment. It was a divine appointment for you to come through those doors today and to sit in the presence of God with a whole lot of people that love you. Listen, God is chasing you. He is pursuing you. He is in love with you, and he wants to take your past that the devil says is so bad that God, you've done way too much. God can't forgive you. God wants to take all that past and cover it with his blood, and he wants to make you new, and he wants to give you a future. You can't do anything about your past. You can't do anything about your present, but Jesus can, and he wants to, and he wants you to crawl up in his lap and let him hold you and let him rescue you. There's a lot of people in here today that's thinking like, yeah, man, it took a lot of courage, man. I was scared today. Listen, I want you to hear me, because God is so in love with you. That was not you that opened the door to your car to get out in the parking lot. That was God giving you the strength to open that door to get out in the parking lot. You thought it was your strength to take steps through the parking lot to come into a church where you're scared to death that everybody's going to judge you. But that was God giving you the strength to walk in and have the courage to sit down. Listen to some crazy guy sing Eye of the Tiger and do stupid stuff. You know why he brought you here? You know why he gave you the strength to walk in? Because he's in love with you. And if you're alive and you've got breath in your lungs, he's got a plan for you. I don't care what your past looks like. He's got purpose for you. I don't care what your present looks like. He can cover that. Listen, if the ceiling was going to fall in, it would have fell in the very first day Andy Heiss walked into this place. There's nobody in this room that's worthy, including the one standing in front of you. Not one of us. And because of the mercy and the grace and the beauty of the cross and who Jesus is, he makes us worthy through the blood of Jesus. And he wants to make you worthy too. I don't care what your past is. He don't care. He wants to cover it. And if you're here today and you looked across the room and you saw somebody been in church and friend, and you leaned over to your spouse and said, oh my gosh, can you believe how so-and-so's here? Oh dear God, the ceiling's going to fall in. Then you're in the wrong. You need to get right with Jesus. You're the one that's at fault. You are. It's not how Jesus sees people. And you shouldn't see people like that either. Because everybody in this room's got a past. Everybody's got a present. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus and the cross, none of us would have hope. Zero. And so if you're here today, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is madly in love with you, and you're here with a divine appointment to meet him personally and let him wrap you up and love you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to let you know that the majority of people, 99% of the people in this room, absolutely love you. And they know where you're at, and they want you where they're at. So why don't you give Jesus a shout? Because the only way that they're where they're at is because Jesus met them on that same place, met them in that same place that you're in right now. And he rescued them, and he changed them, and he made them a new creation, and he made them new. Let Jesus make you new today. Let him make you new. He's in love with you. It's a divine appointment. He's meeting you today so he can wrap you up and whisper in your ear how much he loves you. Because he's good. He's good. Let him hold you, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you.